time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Head of the pack, all the way in, slam!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
A fun first hour is in the books and in the podcast. You can find it at ESPNSiouxFalls.com or anywhere you get your podcast. Also on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. A lot of talk in hour number one around the NBA, the trades that went down. Minnesota Timberwolves make their moves. And then in addition to that, we spent a good amount of time talking with David Tewksbury, the play-by-play voice of Northern State Wolves football. You can catch that conversation centered up on the outlook for the Wolves this year. They were 7-5 a year ago, dinged up, dented up, and back and better than ever. This fall, they open with a night game against Chadron State in late August. You can find the schedule and more information at NSUWolves.com. Still to come in today's show, headlines and highlights on the way immediately next. We'll talk NFL storylines, College World Series, World Cup, and of course deliver the good, the bad, and the ugly before we're done. Well, things were not too shabby yesterday for the Minnesota Twins on their home field against the LA Dodgers, until they weren't. Right away, the brightest star on the field, shining pretty bright.
And he swings and cracks this one deep into the night, and that is a leadoff home run, number 6 of the year, number 30 of his career. Shohei Ohtani giving the fans a treat, and those in Dodger blue are on their feet, saluting a leadoff home run from Shohei Ohtani.
So Ohtani got the Dodgers going early. It was not until later on in the game the Dodgers took a 2-1 lead and an eventual 2-1 win. Here's the final call on the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
3-2 pitch. Here's Scott. Swung on and hit towards third base. Flagged to his left by Muncy. Up with it to first. And he throws out Brooks Lee to end the game.
So a nice performance, all things considered, from the starting pitcher last night, Zebby Matthews. Youngster falls to 3-5 on the season. Here's Zebby bouncing back from an early slugfest off the bat of Shohei Ohtani.
I don't know if I call it entertaining, but I was able to bounce back. There's a reason he makes as much money as he does, and he's one of the greatest to do it. But able to bounce back well, and then the second, third AB, keep him off balance enough. I'd like to have that first one back for sure.
Like to have that one back. Minnesota falls 2-1, and it's cooling off for Minnesota to start the series against the Dodgers. If they can take one or two of these games, that would be a big-time boost. Minnesota with that loss, 38-42. Other notables, Detroit beat the Yankees yesterday 5-3. Kansas City wins in Tampa 2-1. And also out of the AL Central, it was the White Sox picking up a small margin of victory over the Guardians, 6-5. Guardians 41-38. White Sox are 40-37. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Royals and Rays get us going, along with the Yankees at Tigers, 5:40 start times. We'll also see the Cubbies visit the Mets, Reds host the Brewers, Guardians at the White Sox, D-backs at Cardinals, Rockies home to the Red Sox, and the Dodgers and Twins do it again from Target Field, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40 start time right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. You can also watch the Minnesota Twins tonight on TBS. The NBA draft begins tonight. The Washington Wizards very likely to take A.J. DeBanza of BYU at number 1 overall. But the big news is not about the draft. It's about the trade that went down just last night. This is a long clip, but a clip worthy of your time. Shams Charania, the nuts and bolts of the trade that sends Giannis down to join the Miami Heat.
This was a 13-month trade saga for Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Just to put it plainly, Giannis felt like his time was up with the Bucks a calendar year ago. The Bucks at every turn did everything they could to try to keep him. They fought this right until the end with Giannis to try to win around him. They depleted their assets, their salary books as well. But Giannis informed the team numerous times that it was time for both sides to move on, that he would not sign a long-term contract extension. So now for the Bucks, several weeks ago, they opened up for business. They started negotiating with several teams, and they really started to focus in on the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics over the last few weeks. Co-owner Jimmy Haslam came out a period of time ago and made it very clear that by the draft, the Bucks wanted to know whether Giannis was going to commit long-term or they would move him. Giannis was not willing to commit long-term, so they are now moving him. And you think about the haul that the Bucks got after negotiating with Boston and Miami in the last few weeks. You get Tyler Hero, that's a homecoming for him. Khalil Ware, a young center. Jaime Jaquez, a good two-way wing. You get Kasperis Jakaciūnas, who's just 20 years old, an up-and-coming guard. And then they get a significant return of draft capital. Three first-round picks unprotected, including the 13th pick in the draft on Tuesday night. You get one pick swap far out in 2030, and then a 2033 second-round pick. So the Bucks now turn the page on the Giannis era after 13 years. Taylor Jenkins signed a six-year contract to be the Bucks head coach. They are now going to take time to reassess this team. This is a step back for the organization, but one that they do with flexibility, with picks, with young players, controllable contracts, rookie scale deals as well. But listen, Pat Riley has landed his white whale. We know his history. Shaquille O'Neal, Alonzo Mourning, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Jimmy Butler, and now Giannis is walking into Miami to play in South Beach with Bam Adebayo. The job for the Heat isn't done, but that's a pretty strong duo to start with.
And again, the job not done. More from the Miami Heat new roster configuration. Richard Jefferson talking about how this shakes out, how it shapes up for Miami in the race in the East.
On the Miami side, I feel like they've given up so much. They did get a lot. But now just because you have a talented player, you have to structure the team. You have to now build an elite team around Giannis, and you've given away a ton of assets. Are they going to be elite next year? I think that they are a top four team, in my opinion, going into next year, if everyone's healthy, if they could do it. But they still have a lot of room that they have to fill out on the Miami side.
That's Richard Jefferson. Let's talk about what is ahead for the Boston Celtics. Do they need to trade Jaylen Brown? His name was front and center in the conversation, in the offer that Boston presented to the Milwaukee Bucks. The rest of that offer was two unprotected first-round picks. We do not know the years in which those picks were associated, but Amon Shumpert says it's time for Boston to cut bait and continue to put Jaylen Brown's name out there in the trade market.
I think unless you massage the relationship with cold, hard cash,
that's right,
meaning 2 years and $140 million, which can soothe any relationship, I think you have to look at it and say, does Jaylen Brown want to be in Boston? Not does Boston want Jaylen Brown, but Jaylen Brown always feels unappreciated by the NBA at large, and probably feels underappreciated by the Celtics, being dangled out here for months after we're leading this team to what? Almost 60 wins, the gap year. Now, granted, it did not end well, but now you have to ask yourself the question, who's a Jaylen Brown away? Is Jaylen Brown viewed by the league as a number two guy or as a number one guy that just needs the right situation?
Shams Charania noting a lot of difficult conversations, maybe some awkwardness lingering there in Boston if Jaylen Brown does stick around.
The deal that the Celtics offered Milwaukee, Jaylen Brown and two unprotected first round picks, that was a deal that the Celtics believed was an aggressive pursuit. They went after Giannis at the deadline too. Obviously, no deal came to fruition. But the Celtics, my understanding is they were unwilling to put in young players like Hugo Gonzalez and Bayer Shireman, or adding additional first round picks or pick swaps. The Bucks wanted some combination of maybe a young player or two, maybe additional draft capital. The Celtics were not willing to do that. So you put your bid in, you get involved in this. You know, I've had a few people tell me last night, you got to get a deal done if you're the Celtics when you put a player like Jaylen Brown on the table and on the line in this circumstance. So at minimum, there will be some fallout from this. Jaylen Brown is extension eligible with the Celtics in July. So a lot of answers, if he's still on the roster, will also be identified then.
And again, a lot of answers that need, or a lot of questions that need answers there in Boston. Lastly, from the NBA, Minnesota Timberwolves are in the news. Why would they trade away Julius Randle? Here is Brian Windhorst on the why behind the move that freed up a lot of cash for Minnesota.
It's a salary dump. They dumped Julius Randle's salary. It's about $30 million off of their books back in the draft as well, slightly, which will save them a little bit more money. You know, you can't totally judge this until you see what they do with the money that they just saved. They've got some free agents. Ayo Dosunmu, who was really good for them after they acquired him at the deadline, is a guy that they needed to re-sign. But, you know, they've spent pretty heavily into the tax the last few years. And basically, they're just yanking the chain. And look, you really can't judge it until you see all of the moves. But, you know, because they still have some other free agent dollars they can spend. But I will be very interested to hear what Anthony Edwards has to say about this when it's all said and done.
Brian Windhorst, a noted opponent of what the Minnesota Timberwolves did last night, noting it might hurt some feelings of Anthony Edwards, another offseason in which they're saying so long to an up-and-comer or a veteran asset, Carl Anthony Towns, N'Keal Alexander Walker, and now Julius Randle shipped out from Minnesota. They clear his numbers and name off the books, and now they welcome in Ayu Dosunmu on a 5-year deal. That news reported at ESPN.com. You can also find it at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Minnesota knocking off a couple to-do list items, if we're being honest, just yesterday, last night, on the eve of the NBA draft. Again, the draft coming up later on this evening. Washington holding the top pick, followed by Utah, Memphis, Chicago, and the LA Clippers. The NHL draft before the week is officially over begins on June 26. Toronto holds the top pick, followed by San Jose, Vancouver, Chicago, and the New York Rangers. Over to the NFL. Could Shedeur Sanders be traded out of Cleveland? Certainly is possible, but not likely. Adam Schefter has his eyes on another quarterback in Cleveland that could be on the move.
I don't see Shedeur being moved. I think that they're going to have Shedeur and Deshaun Watson and Dylan Gabriel battle it out. They also like Kalen Green, the rookie they drafted. And I think there'll be a spot for him on the roster. So to me, if they're going to trade a quarterback, Dylan Gabriel would be the guy that they would deal. Is there somebody out there that's interested in him? But I don't think it's going to be some big blockbuster trade.
There you go. Not going to be a big blockbuster trade at all. What kind of value does Dylan Gabriel have? It's less value than J.J. McCarthy has in Minnesota, that's for sure. We were talking last week about McCarthy's value. Should he lose the quarterback competition and want out of Minnesota? Should the team want to move J.J. McCarthy? All hypothetical. You would think his value is a third, fourth, maybe fifth round pick. And Dylan Gabriel, a guy who was drafted in round three, not round one, wasn't traded up for, wasn't committed to over a veteran like Sam Darnold. I think Dylan Gabriel's value would be a pick swap, probably a 7 for a 6, and might even be a conditional pick swap. We'll wait and see if that's worth the Browns' while. But as has been the case lately in Cleveland, they have way too many quarterbacks to roster, and this is a team in at least two of the last 3 years that has kept 4 quarterbacks on their opening day roster heading into the season. Next up on the PGA Tour, it'll be the Travelers Championship running Thursday through Sunday. Finishing up the scorecard, talking about the College World Series, came to a close last night. Oklahoma won Game 1 and Game 3 of the best of 3 series against North Carolina. Last night, not a close one, 13-2, obliteration of the Tar Heels. Here is Sooners head coach Skip Johnson postgame.
We played a really good baseball team. Hats off to North Carolina. They're really good, well coached. I mean, the lineup was incredible. The pitchers they ran out there, incredible. And we took the momentum over early, made some great plays defensively and got some big hits. These guys were separating balls from strikes, staying in their routines, the thing we talk about, pitch to pitch, and getting some big hits for, you know, Kyle and Jackson was incredible, and LJ coming out of the bullpen was picking up Nick. I thought Nick was a little bit tired when he started the game, but he was just trying to hit targets, and that's what we talk about, and I was really proud of him in that moment, and really thankful for the SAC committee, the NCAA. Of course, when you're at the College World Series, everything's a class act. I thought the umpires were incredible all week, I mean, it was incredible.
Oklahoma, incredible last night. 13-2, the final. Game number 3 of the College World Series final. The Sooners on top for the first time since 1994, and a redemptive one. Back in 2022, Sooners were the runner-up in Omaha with a final mark of 45-24. They conclude the season as your national champions with a final mark of 43-23. Well, one thing we've really liked, and I'm just going to be honest, there's a lot to really like about the World Cup so far. The tradition, the pageantry, the introduction we've gotten into many cool traditions, and also the stars have certainly shined pretty bright. That's the case yesterday. Messi had another two goals, including becoming the all-time goals leader in World Cup history. Team Argentina over Austria 2-0 yesterday. Mbappe had two goals for France in a victory over Iraq 3-0. Norway beat up Senegal 3-2 as the Norwegians moved to 2-0-0. In the tournament, Algeria took down Jordan 2-1, and today we will see another four matches on the way. Underway right now, Portugal taking on Uzbekistan to noon on Fox was the start time there. England and Ghana, 3 o'clock on Fox. Panama and Croatia, 6 o'clock, and Colombia facing off with Congo. The nightcap at 9 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Team USA has plenty to play for, but not much to play for in their third match of the group stage against Turkey. That match will be Thursday night, 9 o'clock on Fox. Team USA has already clinched a victory in the group stage, which means they're on to the knockout round. They have the easiest path possible and certainly can't improve or diminish their position. That being said, there's a lot up for debate. What do you do here? It's kind of like that week 18, used to be week 17 debate in the National Football League. We're locked into our seed. We can't advance our position. What should we do? Should we play our starters? I think Team USA is going to blend it together. No Pulisic. They need him healthy. Now, other guys there, Balogun and Moore, I think they are wise with. But the other thing outside of injury to take in consideration that might be unique to the sport of soccer is yellow cards, red cards. You do not want to miss any additional time moving forward. For Team USA, they have clinched a victory in the group stage. They'll see Turkey in a meaningful, meaningless game for Team USA's perspective coming up Thursday night. That is a 9 o'clock go time on Fox. Well, big news here as we jump right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day in hour number two. Augustana softball has a new head coach. The athletic director, Josh Morton, announced yesterday afternoon that former Super Region champion Colleen Powers will be the next head coach of the Viking softball program. I'm deeply grateful for the people and experiences that have shaped my journey, and I'm incredibly honored to be named the head softball coach at Augustana. My goal is to build on the strong foundation already in place, honor those who came before us, and help this program continue to win championships for years to come. Powers arrives in Sioux Falls following 13 years at St. Catherine University in St. Paul, Minnesota. There, she turned the Wildcats into a mainstay near the top of their league, leading a dramatic turnaround to become both a contender in the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference and nationwide. Powers led St. Kate's to back-to-back appearances in both the MEAC playoff tournament and NCAA tournaments in 2016 and 17, marking the most successful seasons in program history. You can get to know the new coach of Augustana Vikings softball, Colleen Powers. GoAugie.com. We are efforting to get Coach Powers in studio here in the weeks ahead. Stay tuned for official scheduling of that conversation. Other news to get to, Iowa State is going boozing. They'll add alcohol sales to their concessions for football and basketball games moving forward. Athletic Director Jamie Pollard confirmed as much yesterday. Pollard said the decision comes as, quote, athletic departments across the country are facing uncertainty and significant financial pressures from rapidly increasing costs. Pollard said Iowa State has sought to increase revenue through ticket sales and donations, sponsorship and licensing, and by adding new events such as concerts at the school's facilities. The latest change is the addition of alcohol sales at Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum. As always, you want responsibility. You want people to stay in line, have a great time, but be responsible, be smart when it comes down to alcohol games, and especially there on campus, football and basketball. But it is a common sense approach to increase your revenue just a bit, and it's coming to Ames coming up immediately. Football and basketball games moving forward. You can find that article at ESPN.com. And for the last time today, we're going to touch on the Giannis trade, get you the nuts and bolts just in case you're tuning in for the first time. The Milwaukee Bucks are trading franchise icon, NBA Finals champion Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bobby Portis to the Miami Heat in a trade package that features Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, Jaime Jaquez Jr., Kasperis Jakaciūnas, and three first-round picks, including number 13 overall tonight in round number one of the NBA draft. And also, in addition to 3 first-rounders and 4 players for Giannis and Bobby Portis. You're going to get a pick swap and a second-round pick in the deal. The Heat are sending 2 Milwaukee unprotected first-rounders in 2031 and 2033, along with number 13 overall tonight, a pick swap in 2030, and a 2033 second-round pick. The trade does not include any additional teams, a 1-to-1 move as was projected by Shams Charania yesterday. This is a big deal. It's a big get. It is a large return for Giannis. Is it enough? That's up for debate. Is it a win now move? Heck no, it's not a win now move. For Milwaukee fans that are upset, I think you have a reason to be upset, because this is not going to be a turn the page from Giannis and, oh, I'm excited to see what's next. This is not a page turning move. This is a book closing. Find a new book. Find a new story for the Milwaukee Bucks franchise. This is not a turn the page over to Jaylen Brown and hoping you can build around him and Miles Turner. This is a move off of Giannis and everything you know about the Milwaukee Bucks maneuver. So this is a interesting get. That's a lot of value. You would imagine these recent first rounders, recent high picks, Khalil Ware, Jaime Jaquez Jr., Kasper Jakančiūnas, you would imagine one of those guys, maybe two of those guys, will pan out into something pretty darn viable for Milwaukee. You got Miles Turner there. You have some other ancillary pieces. And then you invest in premium draft capital, 3 first rounders. But you're not going to see really a lot of significant return until 2034, 2035. This is a Oklahoma City Thunder style move or a tear down rebuild kind of move. It's going to take a while for Milwaukee to get back on their feet after this. And I'm not saying they're not going to the playoffs. They have an opportunity to do that this year or next year pretty easily. But I'm talking about competing for championships. Feels like they're still very far away from doing that, even in the wake of a trade so big as this, in which they acquire 4 players, and all 4 pretty talented in their own right, up-and-comer players for the Milwaukee Bucks. 3 first-round picks, including 1 tonight. That's going to be the key. What do they do with the pair of picks that are in the top 15 tonight in Milwaukee? Can they nail both of those or one of those or package them up and trade up to get a Darius Acuff or somebody of that nature? We will see. But make no mistake about it, this is not a here and now maneuver for Milwaukee. They had that on the table from Boston. Could have gotten Jaylen Brown and 2 unprotected ones. That's a pretty handsome return to go from an all-star, really darn good Giannis player to an all-star, really darn good reason why his team won an NBA Finals in recent memory. Running mate, of course, included with Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown's a really good player. So you could take it either way. It's just, what would you rather do? Would you rather be good to really good in the here and now? Probably not going to be in the NBA Finals conversation with Jaylen Brown, Miles Turner, and 2 first-round picks. We don't know what years they're in. Or retool, tear it down to the studs, maybe even tear some studs out in Milwaukee and punt to 2030, 2031, 32, 33 before this team is back standing on its own with these assets coming to fruition. We'll see about the Milwaukee Bucks, but a massive trade. Giannis to the Heat along with Bobby Portis, and suddenly the Miami Heat are very well thought of once again. Top 5 finals odds as of this morning at DraftKings Sportsbook. They have the 5th best odds and a big line of demarcation between the top 4 and Miami. But needless to say, still in the top 5, one of the favored teams in the Eastern Conference if the season began today. That's the latest and greatest, your ReliaBank headlines of the day. You can find them in person in the 605 or online at ReliaBank.com. When we come back, the latest NFL news of the day and fact or fiction, as J.J. McCarthy played his last significant snaps at quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. We will do our best to answer that question around the corner as we move forward on a Tuesday edition of Overtime right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Ooh. right back with you on this Tuesday, June 23rd edition of Overtime. Time to talk football. And it's time to get going into summer. We are just a few days in to the sunshiny season of the year. Ready, set, climb. You can play Quickstar's Mountain Dew Quick Climb and score cash over the summer. Now through August 16th, you can play free every day in the Quick Rewards app. That includes daily cash prizes climbing to a $250,000 payday at the top. Again, it's the Quickstar Mountain Dew Quick Climb. And you can buy select Pepsi-Cola beverages to earn bonus plays. Your summer, your climb, your win. Only at Quickstar. You can view full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. Again, the Mountain Dew Quick Climb by Quickstar inside the Quick Rewards app. Let's dive right in to some fact or fiction. In the National Football League, J.J. McCarthy has started his last game for the Minnesota Vikings. ESPN.com has a foreign article up with things of this nature. Are they fact? Are they fiction? Where do you stand with J.J. McCarthy? They note in the article the 10th overall pick in the 2024 draft missed all of his rookie year with that knee injury, then was installed as the starter at the beginning of last year after Sam Darnold left in free agency to go win a Super Bowl with Seattle. McCarthy played in just 10 games last year due to other injuries and overall ineffective play. According to the article, don't yell at me, Carson Wentz in there, Kyler Murray coming in, and now you got J.J. McCarthy in competition. Is he going to ever start a game for Minnesota again? ESPN, to their credit, says this is an overreaction. They do think J.J. McCarthy has some sticking power. McCarthy could prove to be the better option in camp. If that happens, the players on the roster will see that and buy into the decision. You could make the case that that's the best outcome for the Vikings is for McCarthy to win the job and become the player they thought he could be when they moved up to draft him. McCarthy is who we thought he was, and we let him off the hook. We'll see about J.J. McCarthy. I agree with some of that sentiment. And the reason I buy in just a bit with J.J. McCarthy is because of the way his teammates talk about him. And some of that is obligatory. Oh, we love the kid. Hard not to love that kid. He tries so hard. He plays so hard. He's a great practice guy. He's a student of the game. I love J.J. McCarthy. But the commentary we've seen from certain veterans on the roster gives a little more credo to maybe it's J.J. McCarthy's team and Kyler Murray is the veteran, the outsider, the outcast who's coming in trying to take everybody's job. And there might be one or two people that are heavily rooting for Kyler Murray to get the job because they want to be paid as well. And those would be Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson. Those guys, to me, complete reckless speculation on my part, but those guys, to me, probably should be rooting for Kyler Murray to win the starting job because, as we know from Green Bay and many other examples, if you're a wide receiver and you don't get a lot of run, you don't get catchable balls, you're always running the football, whatever the excuse might be, you want the numbers because the numbers earn big numbers as far as your bank account goes down the line. Jordan Addison, a lot of immediacy there. He needs to have a big season. Justin Jefferson's a known commodity. I think winning is the most important thing for him at this stage. 8,000 yards already in his career. But you get the feeling that maybe that position group might be a fan of trot out whoever's going to give us the best chance to win and whoever's going to get me the football in my hand in big moments. We'll see. J.J. McCarthy not starting his last game for the Minnesota Vikings, according to that article at ESPN.com. Well, this is really darn cool news. The recent Scottish takeover of Boston. They drained the city of its beer. Pro Football Talk at NBC Sports noting has left a significant impression on the New England Patriots and owner Robert Kraft. Via Nicole Yang of the Boston Globe, Kraft has informed NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell that the Patriots are interested in playing a regular season game in Scotland. Scotland had not previously been mentioned as a potential site of an NFL game. It's another example of the overall impact of the ongoing World Cup. America getting an extended glimpse into the intense passion that fans from other countries have for their sport, and that's the feeling into which the NFL is hoping to tap through its ongoing global experiments. Pro Football Talk, good article there, and I'm a fan of this, especially the way you witnessed and watched the cities come together, the tartan army of Scotland tearing apart Boston in all the best ways possible. No reports of ruckuses, or anything of that nature, But man, how could he not love what Team Scotland is about? And they have found a really good home, sister city in Boston, if you will. And now Robert Kraft wanting to repay the favor with his Patriots coming to, I don't know, we'll see where in Scotland in the years ahead. Well, Aaron Rodgers is taking time to mentor and talk and be warm and fuzzy with a young receiver in Pittsburgh. Huh. Pro Football Talk on the news that the Steelers' young wide receiver Jeremy Bernard, second-round pick, has said that the quarterback has taken him under his wing. Coming in as a rookie and him being a vet, he's just teaching me the game, Jeremy Bernard said, according to Fox 54 in Huntsville, Alabama. He's helping me catch up because he thinks I have the potential to play. He's just pouring into me as much as he can. I just ask questions. I try to learn, be a sponge as much as I can, receive what they're telling me because they know the best. They play this game for a long, long time. You guys know me well at this stage, just about 5 years on the microphone here in Sioux Falls. I love Aaron Rodgers. Always have, always will. Great Packer. One of my all-time favorites. For my money, the most talented player to throw a football in the National Football League. We could argue about that a different time, but the one part of Aaron Rodgers that bothered me late in his Packers tenure was the foot-dragging reluctance to be around the squad when they needed him the most. And in the moment, it didn't bother me. He's a veteran. He'll figure it out. But upon seeing the slow start for Green Bay and the careers of Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Samori Toure, and so many more, gives a little credence to just want a little bit more from my veteran quarterback. So pardon me ruffling my feathers a bit. I'm glad to see Rodgers and Big Mike McCarthy and all the other ex-Packers there in Pittsburgh getting a little bit of a boost from Aaron Rodgers. I'm still rooting for the guy, but I'm still a little ticked that Jeremy Bernard's getting the treatment that Doubs and Watson and others didn't seemingly get in the offseason in the final few years of Rodgers in Green Bay. Well, the UFL is not necessarily a rip-roaring success as far as ratings or attendance or eyeballs and ears, but it is a success as far as doing what they said they would do. Audition players for a leap to the National Football League. There are several NFL teams that have taken notice of UFL players, bringing them onto their 90-man rosters. According to Pro Football Talk, NBCSports.com, so far 23 players who have played in the league this spring have been signed to NFL rosters. The Lions have brought in the most, having signed 4. The Falcons, Cowboys, and Saints have signed 3. The Bears, Broncos, Dolphins, and Eagles have signed 2. And the Bills and Steelers have both brought in 1 so far. And if we're being honest, there is not overt, crazy, rabid appetite for spring football or summer football in this country. I wish there were. I watch the UFL, the AAF, the USFL, the XFL, because I'm a nerd. I love football too much. I absolutely consume some of this. Am I watching it on the edge of my seat every weekend? Heck no, I'm not. But if it was tied in with the NFL, a little bit more of a pipeline, players' rights that were controlled, and you could say, that guy's a future Packer. That guy's going to be in camp with my team this year. I would invest more time, absolutely. That being said, the appetite for spring football or for off-season football is pretty high. Not raging from the NFL's perspective, but it's really nice to see these guys that may have been dealing with an injury or a personal situation or got cut out of town too quickly and are looking for a second chance opportunity, might be too old to go back to a pro day. Or maybe they go to a pro day and they don't shine out. And then they can come into the UFL and have a nice season or prove something. Get some more tape out there to earn an opportunity. It's working. It's not a rip-roaring success, but it's working so far for the United Football League and the NFL, getting players up to the National Football League. Quickly here, as we go to break, I would love to get some tickets in your hand right now, especially, can't guarantee it, but especially if you got some youngsters that might be interested in this. Tomorrow, it is summer, so I would assume the youngsters are off. If they have some other obligation, you can pull them out if you want to. But I've got a 4-pack of tickets for Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers visiting the Minnesota Twins tomorrow night at Target Field. You don't have to take the whole day off. You just got to get out a little early. It's a 6:40 start time at Target Field. I got 4 tickets with your name on them right now. Preferably, You're taking some youngsters out to see a generational talent in Shohei lose to the Minnesota Twins. But if you'd like to go, the number 605-362-3776. I'll take the calls right now. First come, first serve for some Dodgers Twins tickets tomorrow at Target Field in Minneapolis. Four tickets with your name on it. All you got to do is give me a call, 605-362-3776. Again, first come, first served here on the show. Let's get some youngsters out to the ballpark this summer. 605-362-3776. We'll get those Dodgers tickets out when we come back. College World Series wrap up. World Cup wrap and preview, and the good, the bad, the ugly on the way as we say so long to a Tuesday edition of Overtime right after this on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday, June 23rd edition of Overtime. Quick PSA, get out and vote today. Head out to your local polling station. They will be open beyond 5 o'clock this evening. Certainly a very important one for the future of our great city. Mayoral runoff election up in the air. Get out and vote. Make your voice heard here in the 605. Before we dive into the good, the bad, and the ugly, let's talk about the U.S. men's national team. The good vibes continuing for Team USA as of yesterday as Christian Pulisic returned to full training for the first time since June 11th, having recovered from an injured left calf. Pulisic first injured the calf 2 days before the tournament opening 4-1 win against Paraguay at the FIFA World Cup. Played in the first half of that match before exiting at halftime after he aggravated the injury. Didn't train fully with the team leading up to the Australia match and remained on the bench during that 2-0 win. The news was less positive for U.S. midfielder Christian Roldan, who has a muscle strain and is currently day-to-day. Injury comes at an inopportune time for Roldan. Midfielder Tyler Adams already sitting on a yellow card. He's likely to sit out the match against Turkey to avoid a second yellow, which would trigger a suspension for the next round of 32. It'll be some sort of amalgamation of a lineup for Pochettino and Team USA in the matchup against Turkey coming up late Thursday night, 9 o'clock on Fox. Well, one really cool story from game number two, match number two for Team USA in the win 2-0 over Team Australia was the person that scored the second goal of the day. Now, Alex Freeman was his name, and his dad's name is Antonio Freeman. Packer fans know that name well. He had his own incredible Seattle moments, but the former Packer receiver said watching his son Alex score for Team USA in a World Cup game on Friday was 10,000 times better and kicked off, quote, the best Father's Day weekend ever. Speaking to ESPN at the U.S. team's training site, the elder Freeman, former Packer wide receiver, said his phone overheated on Friday afternoon and he had over 400 text messages from friends and family by the time the U.S. completed their 2-0 victory over the Aussies. Freeman also said that he was particularly moved, by how the U.S. players celebrated his son's first World Cup goal. That was the most heartwarming thing for me as a parent, is to see his teammates, who are all a bunch of accomplished men playing in their own exclusive leagues overseas, rally around the youngest kid, the baby boy, on the team and the excitement they had in their eyes. As a parent, it just lets you know that your kid's being protected. They're watching over him. Antonio Freeman won the Super Bowl with the Packers, was a first-team All-Pro wideout, had a memorable day in Seattle back in 96, catching 2 touchdown passes and a big win over the Seahawks. The emotions that day were nothing compared to what he felt at Seattle Stadium when Alex shined on Friday. Great story at ESPN.com. And last night, we saw the conclusion of the college baseball season at the D1 level. The way the regular season unfolded, a national championship for Oklahoma seemed impossible until it was possible last night. Oklahoma completed the improbable run to their first national championship since 1994 with a 13-2 resounding win over the Tar Heels in a winner-take-all Game 3 of the College World Series just last night, a performance that featured the prodigious, according to ESPN.com, offensive production and clutch pitching the Sooners rode throughout the tournament. I think we knew the talent was always in the room. According to Jackson Willits, who was named the most outstanding player, we got hot at the right time, and now we're national champions. The Sooners finished 43-23 and won the Southeastern Conference's seventh straight title in baseball. North Carolina, 54-14-1, the runner-up for the third time since 2006, and now with 13 appearances without a title, that trails only Florida State, who has 24 appearances without a title, as teams with the most without winning it all. Time now to wrap up the show with the latest and greatest in a big edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly on a Tuesday.
Who has been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and now setting a bad example. Well, Bert is calling out today's headline makers with The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
Well, the good news, the great news in the hockey world keeps on coming for the Tkachuk family. A day after he learned that his sons would become teammates in the NHL, the elder Tkachuk, Keith Tkachuk, was elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame yesterday. On Sunday, the Ottawa Senators at long last made a move, trading away Captain Brady Tkachuk to the Florida Panthers, who already have his brother Matthew on the roster, reuniting a pair of players who starred for the USA in February's Winter Olympics. On Monday, the family patriarch, nicknamed Walt Tkachuk, became part of Player Hall of Fame class that includes Patrice Bergeron, who won the Stanley Cup with Boston in 2011, and the Selke Trophy as the league's top defense forward six times. Goaltenders Carey Price from Montreal and Pekka Rinne from Nashville, and U.S. women's hockey pioneer Cindy Curley. Tkachuk was one of the premier power forwards in his era, playing in the 90s and 2000s as part of the first great generation of American hockey players. The elder Tkachuk, Keith Tkachuk, is a Hall of Famer. Other news to get to, taking shape, future bids for an NBA franchise in Las Vegas. Vegas Golden Knights founder and majority owner Bill Foley announced yesterday that he is launching a bid to bring an NBA franchise to Vegas. Foley's announcement that he will pursue the first NBA team in Vegas comes after the NBA's Board of Governors approved a vote in late March to explore bids and applications for expansion franchises exclusively in Las Vegas and Seattle, as Bill Foley launching the first bid in Vegas. Well, these articles are always fun, always cool, but always make you feel pretty darn old. Notre Dame secured a notable pledge yesterday with the commitment from four-star wide receiver and NFL legacy, Notre Dame legacy, Julius Jones Jr., the number 50 player in the SC Next 300. The 5'10", 170-pound receiver from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is the son of former Fighting Irish running back Julius Jones Sr., who led the program in rushing three times from 99 to 2003. The younger Jones announced his commitment to Notre Dame over finalists Miami and Oregon during a live appearance yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show. Other news to get to, bad news, but also good news out of an injury. Reds shortstop Ellie De La Cruz is making his way back. He's expected to be reinstated from the injured list Tuesday after missing 19 games because of a strained right hamstring, according to manager Terry Francona. De La Cruz, who's been sidelined since early June, took BP before last night's series opener against the first-place Brewers. He made three rehab starts for AAA Louisville, going 2-for-8 with a homer and two RBIs. After homering in his first rehab start on Friday, De La Cruz texted Francona, "Be there tomorrow," but the Reds didn't want to rush him back to action. Expected to be reinstated coming up later on today. And lastly, the ugly news, Brandon Ayuk, what is going on with the Niners wide receiver? Latest, and I would say greatest, but that's far from true, latest and ugliest video post for Brandon Ayuk is making it clear what his preferred destination will be whenever the Niners decide to part ways with him. In the latest Instagram video, the veteran wide receiver yells out, "Go Commanders! Go Commanders! Raise hail! Take command!" He also posted a photo of former quarterback Mark Rippon hoisting the Lombardi Trophy after Washington won their one of their more recent Super Bowls. Niners general manager John Lynch said back in January that it was, quote, safe to say that Ayuk has played his last snap with the Niners. However, the team has held on to him and hoped that they could find a trade partner. This is one of the weirder, tougher situations in the NFL. Ayuk got paid handsomely, got hurt, then was away from the team reportedly for a long stretch of time and entirety of last year. That's still up in the air as far as the actual details go, but it's been an ugly, mystifying, weird situation in San Francisco, in Santa Clara, in California for Brandon Ayuk. Wish him nothing but the best moving forward, but another strange video out there as he is now a big fan of his NFL career continuing in the nation's capital. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That is the Tuesday edition of Overtime. We're back and better than ever tomorrow. Augustana Athletic Director Josh Morton on the show. Already looking forward to the next edition of Overtime when it rolls around tomorrow right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.